So it's 2012. It's December 2012. We know the apocalypse is coming.
I thought it was Ragnarok.
Oh yeah, Ragnarok. It's just, I mean, just general apocalypse type stuff. So the world is coming to an end. Ragnarok is here. What sort of math is going to help me survive in the post-apocalyptic world?
Well, I can tell you one thing. There's mathematical thinking which might give you a house.
That is right. This is a mathematical tool that can help build a house in the upcoming post-apocalyptic wasteland. Not only that, it's really efficient about it. Say I had found a source of plywood that had escaped the destruction and used this mathematical method to build my house.
Well, the great thing about this is because it's a mathematical idea, it comes from the shapes, it wastes no plywood.
No, I'm not gonna waste any plywood.
Yeah.
The building that Edmund and I are talking about has a name. It's called the Hexayurt. Designed by Vinay Gupta, the Hexayurt is a simple relief structure that can be built with basic materials. 4x8-foot rectangular sheets, a hammer, some nails, things that are available in most local supply chains. The thinking required to get such a design is anything but simple, though.
You have this process going from thinking about, you start from a real-world thing, the material. You have these 4-foot by 8-foot sheets of plywood or insulation material. There's lots of stuff which comes in 2x1 rectangles. You take only that into the abstract world, 2x1 rectangle. And you play around with it and you see what shapes you can make. But you know that any shape you can make with 2x1 rectangles without allowing to do cuts but without waste can then be manufactured in some way from those materials. So it's the classic mathematical thing of abstracting a problem, dealing with it in the abstract where you can ignore certain real-world issues, and then pulling that back into the real world and dealing with the specific things there.
Gupta's solution was elegant. He created a structure that uses 6 of the sheets as walls, creating a 4-foot-high hexagon where each side is 8 feet long, and a roof created by cutting 6 more of the sheets along the diagonal and connecting them back together to make 6 triangles, each of which is 8 feet high and has an 8-foot base. All of these triangles are then attached to the hexagonal wall. And there you have it, a structure created from 12 4x8-foot sheets that has no waste.
And you get a little building. It's 8 foot tall in the middle, 4 foot tall at the edge, so you do have to bend down to get in. But it's a fairly strong building, just from because it's made of sheets of material with very few cuts, and it's also the lines of force are reasonably well spread out. So it's a strong, simple structure that you can put together basically with the knowledge of how to use a hammer and a saw.
There was a problem with the Hexayurt, and it just so happened to be one that was asking for a mathematician's touch.
Personally, I became involved in this when I met up with Vinay, and he had this little Hexayurt thing, but it's a fairly small building, even the stretched ones. And as soon as you start going to some of the ways of extending it, you lose some of the strength properties it has. It becomes a weaker structure. So he said, well, you're a geometer. Here's the problem. Let's get some bigger buildings. And I was able to think about it a bit, and I came up with 2 different dome structures. They're actually quite closely related. They both come from different ways of slicing through a truncated octahedron with the hexagonal faces replaced by these hexagonal-based pyramids. So they're called the tridome and the quad dome. The tridome is a traditional hexayurt roof, but you actually put square panels on 3 of the edges. And between them, you put half roofs, so 3 of the triangles together. Well, the half roofs actually end up with slightly different angles, but this whole thing then squats down and you have a sort of tent-shaped structure. The quad dome, you start off with a square, So that's just two of your 2x1 rectangles. So with plywood sheets, for example, it would be an 8-foot by 8-foot square. And you attach to each of the edges of the square a full traditional roof. So you've now got this square with four roofs going down. That leaves some little gaps, and those gaps can be made with a half square. And there's an easy way of turning one sheet into the 8-foot by 8-foot square cut in half. So you can then you then get a full dome that's resting on the ground. So that's the quad dome. And so if you want to create even larger structures, you can start putting quad domes together. And one I've worked on, I call the Hexayurt Cathedral, is to put four quad domes together, and then you put, you imagine putting a fifth one right on top of it. And so you get this larger structure, and I think it's 18 to 20 foot tall in the middle. So you're now not thinking about people who can build with just using a hammer and a saw. You're talking about a more seriously engineered structure.
What would the benefits of these over your traditional hexayurts be?
They're larger.
They have multiple rooms now? Or like, are there rooms built in, or are they all still open space?
It's still open space, but you could have it as a schoolroom or as a meeting room, or just as a larger house with greater floor area.
These new structures open up a universe of useful possibilities. The tri-dome could be the house of a large family, the quad-dome could be a school, and the Hexayurt Cathedral could live up to its name and actually become a place of worship. After all, let's not forget the original intent for the Hexayurt design.
Well, we began this by talking about, you know, post-apocalyptic worlds. Well, scale that back a bit and look at post-natural disaster situations. Traditionally, when there's a massive destruction of property, what happens is that hundreds of relief tents are shipped in. And that's not so bad. People get a roof over their heads. Unfortunately, a relief tent will only really be good for about a year. You know, think about a tent in constant use in the world. And after a year, it's rotten. The interest and the donations from the world have moved on. You know, the tragedy is over in the eyes of the rest of the world. So you have people living in these increasingly failing structures with no prospect. If they've been there for a year, they clearly don't have good prospects of moving on. And so with the Hexayurt, firstly, you have something that can be, it competes on price with a standard relief tent. It's quite easy to transport. The materials, in many cases, are available in the local supply chain. Also, if you put them together with screws, you have a building that people potentially could take down, and they can take their building with them. And so you basically turn a temporary tent structure into a semi-permanent structure that can at least last for, or gives a longer window before people have to find other options.
Many Hexayurts have already been built, and this past year at Burning Man, they also constructed a tri-dome and a quad-dome, something that Edmund was rather happy about.
Well, it's obviously fantastic when, you know, whether through building or through other ways, people take your ideas and actually develop them in their own ways, especially if they develop them in ways that go beyond what you're able to do. And although I like making things, I've spent a long part of my life learning abstract mathematical thinking skills. And that means I've spent less time, I have less time available to learn how to use, you know, how to do engineering type tasks and the practical things. And so it's great to see people taking the ideas that I can come up with that I hope I gain something from those abstract thinking skills, so it's things they can't necessarily do, and take it and add in their skills to the mix. But it's also just in general, if you're coming up with ideas, you're coming up with work, you want other people to take it on board and to develop it further. And to have such a concrete instance of people really taking my work and investing their own time, money, and effort into it, it's a wonderful feeling.
When I asked Edmund how other people might also be able to develop this tool, this ability to reason geometrically, he had a couple of ideas. First, you should do what you can in order to develop a general sense of how three-dimensional space works. And to do that, he suggested that you should play. Specifically, you should play with some sort of building toy, something like Lego or Zoom tool. He then said that once you have started to develop some idea of how space and form actually work, you should start to investigate some of the mathematics used to model three dimensions. Finally, you should use 3D software and programming, especially programming, to test your newfound intuition.
And the nice thing about mixing programming with this geometric intuition and a little bit of the understanding of how, for example, you can use three numbers to describe a point in Cartesian space, when you combine those things, you have a way of testing your ideas very quickly. So instead of having to work on an idea, then go and talk to someone and find that there's an error in it, you can actually implement that idea on the computer. If it does what you want, you're great. But if it doesn't do what you expect it to, you can often find how you're going wrong, because the wrong idea won't generate something that looks, generally, the wrong idea generates something that looks completely ludicrous. And so I think those things of playing with Lego and construction toys, programming and using programming and mathematical methods to describe three-dimensional objects with three-dimensional software are the skills that people should be working on.
Edmund would not let me leave, though, without adding this one last piece of information about mathematics, academics, witch doctors, and their relative importance.
I think the best descriptions of mathematicians, or in fact academics in general, that I've heard was given to me by a Fijian, and I was visiting his village in the center of Vanuatu, and he said, talking about the witch doctor, it's really important that we have him, but it'd be a really real disaster if we were all like that. And I think academics have that's a good definition of academics, that it's an important thing for society or community to have. They play a role that isn't possible without that level of specialization, but it's important that not everybody has those skills, otherwise we wouldn't be able to do far more important things like plumbing.
So essentially what you're saying, the apocalypse comes around, instead of surrounding yourself with mathematicians, surround yourself with plumbers.
I think that would be, you'd be in far better shape. Yeah. You'd have clean water.